So I'm going to ask a couple of questions this afternoon. What is the most important aspect of our faith? If you had to say there's a number one aspect or characteristic of your belief system, what is it? What's the cornerstone doctrine of our belief system? And we certainly have a lot of them, don't we? The church certainly has a lot of them. We've done a lot of work over the last many years, looking at Scripture, analyzing, praying, fasting, studying for answers on all kinds of stuff. And we certainly have a very strong and very confident belief system. But what is the number one aspect of that belief system? For instance, is it the knowledge of the Sabbath? Certainly a characteristic that separates us from a large portion of the Christian faith. I was reading this morning that there's about 8 billion people in the world. I don't know who counts all of them, but there's 8 billion people in the world. And right now there's 2.3 billion Christians. 2.3 billion Christians. And I got to believe that probably 2 billion of those don't believe in the seventh-day Sabbath. So that certainly is an important aspect of our belief system. But is that the number one cornerstone of our belief system? What separates us from the rest of the world, the rest of Christianity? Is it the holy days? I've often said the whole concept of the holy days and a plan of salvation is just wildly interesting and dynamic and really makes sense. But is that the cornerstone of our faith? Is that what separates us from the rest of the religions? Is it the understanding of prophecy? Certainly for many years, especially in the 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s, I wasn't around back then. Chuck was, I think. I know Harvey for sure was. Prophecy was a big thing in the church. It was a big calling to people because people were afraid. People were concerned about saving themselves and their families and looking at the horrors that certainly will come. So is it the understanding of prophecy, the understanding of who the U.S. is, and the whole British Commonwealth concept? Is that the cornerstone of our salvation? Or maybe it's the nature of God which separates us from the rest of Christianity, who teach the Trinity. We do have many beliefs that make us different than the rest of the world. But what is the one singular belief that we can say is our most important one? Now, if your mind's going, that's good. That's where I want it to be. Write it down if you want to. Whisper it to your wife or not. But what would your answer be? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask everybody to yell out. But it's certainly something that's a pretty critical question to answer or try to answer. And maybe we differ a little bit on what my answer today is going to be to this subject. Many years ago, Sam and I were in California, and we were out for a church event, and we were there, happened to be a week or a year, where Christmas Day was on Saturday. Christmas Day was on the Sabbath. And we were out there for a conference, and we went to San Luis Obispo, California, and we walked into church on Christmas Day, which is a very interesting, surreal feeling. For those of you, like my kids, that never celebrated Christmas, you might not know what I'm talking about. But if you did ever celebrate Christmas, like I did up until I was 10, there is still an interesting thing that goes on in my head on that day. Part of it is due to, you know, family experiences that I had with great gatherings with family. That warmth and that comfort that was felt with family on that day. I have maybe a lot of baggage, but a lot of history with that day. But anyway, we walk into church and it's Saturday. It's the Sabbath. And it happened to be December 25th. We had the sermonette. We had the announcements. And the pastor got up and started talking about the birth of Christ on Christmas Day. He's talking about the manger and the virgin birth and the wise men, not three, and the frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And he's going through all this, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at Sam. I said to my wife, I said, did you know any of this? To be honest with you, I didn't even know that existed in the Bible because of how much we have separated ourselves from that holiday, which certainly we should. But it was very, very interesting as he was going through Christmas, the origin of Christmas, and was talking about all the chief things that the Christian religion purports happened. They did happen. And I was absolutely shocked. Here I am at 28, 29 years old, baptized 13, 14 years. And I didn't know that that stuff that he was reading was in the book. Now, maybe you may say, well, Mike, you got baptized too early. But we distance ourselves so far from the wrongness of Christmas. I believe maybe we didn't give consideration to the rightness of the story. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So how comfortable are we to go to any scripture, any verse, have any conversation around our belief system and talk about the things that we believe with ourselves or even with others? For many years, being in the church since I was 10 years old, 1970, there was one of our ministers who traveled a lot all over the world and gave very, very long messages. And you don't have to guess who I'm talking about. And I'll always remember part of his message was almost mocking the Christian religion that talked about Jesus and wonderful, sweet little Jesus as he pretty relentlessly mocked the thought that anybody else besides us would have faith and confidence in Jesus Christ. Acts 4, verses 8 through 12. Acts 4, verses 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness showed to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you are the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you and is healed. Jesus is the stone you builders are rejected, which has become the cornerstone. In verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, I was having dinner with very good friends of mine. He's my CFO. I've known him since I was probably 8 or 9 years old. We went to elementary school together. We went to junior high school together. High school, played hockey. He was in my wedding party. I was in his wedding party. And Pat and Giselle, his wife, and I and Sam and our family have been very close for many years. We were out to dinner with them a couple of years ago, and we were talking about life and kids and business and the world and got into a little bit of religion, which it normally does. They're very Catholic. And Giselle said to me, she said, Mike, she said, does your faith believe in Christ? Now, I've known them for 55 years. And for the 55 years I've known Pat, I've been in this faith. And his wife, and they've been married for almost 30, said to me, Mike, do you guys believe in Christ? And I looked at Sam, bewildered, looked back at Giselle, and I said, Giselle, of course we believe in Christ. I said, why would you think we didn't? I mean, you've heard us pray at company events. You've heard me pray with Pat when he had cancer and was in the hospital. And you obviously heard the prayer and ended in Christ's name. She said, well, with all the things you believe, I just didn't think you believed in Christ. And I looked at my wife and I looked back at her and I said, well, shame on us. If after knowing us that long, that's what you think or that's what you thought. Let's turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, and beginning in verse 1. Philippians 2, and beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each other esteem each other better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery, but to be equal with God. In verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In verse 9, therefore God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and those under the earth. Every knee shall bow in the name of Jesus Christ. As we work our way through yet another year and time frame before the last great day to Passover Eve, what is the foundation of our faith? How secure is that foundation? How do we strengthen it? Let's consider the foundation and pinnacle of our faith this afternoon. The belief, the realization, and the confidence about the author and finisher of that faith, Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 100. Sometimes I think we maybe just assume certain things and don't say them or state them. I believe a number of years ago, many years ago, I think some of you in the room that date back to that time, you know, remember when there was a time when the name of Jesus Christ was not mentioned that much. It almost felt kind of like too Protestant-y, too Pentecostal-y, too Baptist-y. We just didn't say it, didn't talk about it as much as, thankfully, freely I feel we do today. That's my experience. You may have a different one, but that's my experience. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. Shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song, knowing that the Lord is God. He who has made us, and we are his. We are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give him thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. From the beginning of this book to the end of this book, it is replete with the mention and the concept and the explanation of who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ did and what he will do in the future. Let's consider. In the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1:1, you don't have to turn there. If you don't know that one, you're really in trouble. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right at the very beginning of our workbook, we get grounded in the foundation that there is a God, who that God is, and what he started here on this planet. In the beginning, God, Elohim, Unai plural, God the Father, God the Son, which is what our beliefs and understanding is, starts the whole process. Turn to Colossians. I got a lot of scriptures today. Colossians 1, verse 16 through 17. And my wife always tells me, don't go too fast. You mention the scripture, and then you start reading it. So I use the Ralph Levy form of making sure you go there. I say the scripture three times. So Colossians 1:16, Colossians 1:16, Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16, for by him, Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and him in all things consist. It's all about him. It's all about what he's done, who he is, what he's doing, what he will do. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. Do we get that? Do we believe that? Do we say that? Do we live that? Do we pray like that? Again, it feels a little uncomfortable sometimes in our culture to talk a little too much about Jesus. I think we need to check ourselves and think why. John 1, you had to know I'm going there next. John 1 and verse 1. John 1 and verse 1. Still talking about in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him were all things made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So before there was a world, before there was a universe, there were the two beings, the Elohim, God the Father, who ultimately now, and we call Jesus Christ God the Son because of the position he took. But there is no more important aspect of our faith than understanding who Jesus Christ was, who Jesus Christ is, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. So that was the beginning. Now we move into the birth of Christ, which I kind of just mentioned a little bit. The birth of Christ. Tell me about an event that was more important than the birth of Jesus Christ as a human being. I mean, how do we search Scripture and look for a more important event than the birth of Christ? I know you're going to say, well, the death of Christ. Well, I understand that. The resurrection of Christ. Right, but we don't get there without the birth. It's the beginning of the food chain. And yet it's something that we don't really talk about a lot. I mean, I challenge everybody, and I'd love to know, you know, now, later, send me an email, whatever. But how many sermons or sermonettes or messages have you heard about the birth of Christ? I think I've heard two. One was the one I mentioned in California 40 years ago, and the other one was maybe 10, 15 years ago. But we don't talk about it. You know, something I was thinking about the last couple of days, and I mentioned already a little bit, there's 8 billion people in the world, 2 billion Christians. Really, the harvest is in the non-Christian community, right? I mean, those that are not Christians is where the harvest is. And they don't know about Jesus Christ. They may have heard it. Pretty much, I think everybody has. But they don't really know a lot about it. And yet that is a huge, huge, huge piece of the pie, is getting people to hear and understand who Jesus, the fact that there was somebody called Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. So it's certainly not just for us. It's certainly not just for the Christian world. But are we concerned about having a conversation or talking about something that we've so isolated and so don't like, which is true, but that we completely forget about it? Luke 2, verse 1 through 20, Luke 2. You'll see what I mean. It's really in here. I even went on Cogwell website this morning and looked at to see how many articles or presentations were on this subject. And there was a number, but kind of hitting it from different angles, more along the paganism of it, not necessarily the fact that it really happened and explaining all the intricacies of it. Luke 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken on the entire Roman world. This was the first census that was taking place since Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went into their own town to register. Verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. It's there. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Now, part of, quote unquote, the Christmas story, we hear this. This little baby, born to a virgin, placed in a manger, dressed in swaddling clothes. We hear all this, right? It's a story we've heard. In verse 8, and there were shepherds living out of the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of it appeared to them. Bear with me here. Dropping down verse 13. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Ever heard the term peace as regarding relates to Christmas, quote unquote? Verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning that they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So there really was a birth of this Jesus Christ. How much do we think about that? How much do we discuss that? How important a part of our realization and knowledge about the Jesus that we worship and that we love is part of that story. Not the Christmas story, but the birth of Jesus Christ. So we've got the beginning. We've got the birth. How about the life? John 21. John 21. I mean, we could give hours worth of messages on the life of Christ. John 21, what I think is the most interesting scriptures in the Bible. And there were also many other things which Jesus did, of which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So that life of Jesus Christ that we should be looking at, examining, following, knowing about, reading about, studying about, hearing about, was a very, very full life. So much so that the books, there wouldn't be enough books that could be written about all the things that he did. And then how about the death of Christ? We have the beginning, we have the birth, we have the life. How about the death of Christ? Let's turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. I mean, can we study? Can we review? Can we meditate? Can we think? Can we pray? Can we fast enough about getting to know better this individual called Jesus Christ? Matthew 27, verse 45. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." This means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The people thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah and waited to see if he could rescue Jesus. Jesus then gave out a loud cry, breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split apart, the graves were broken open, and many of God's people who died were raised to life. When the soldiers saw the earthquake and everything else that had happened, they were terrified and said, "He really was the Son of God." He really was the Son of God. Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 51. And now we come to the resurrection. The death and now the resurrection. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, as we just read. The earth shook, the rocks were split, the tombs were also open wide. Bodies came out, and after his resurrection came out of the tombs and entered into the city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion, those who were with him, were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake take place, they were terrified and again said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." The most important aspect, the chief cornerstone of our faith, is the realization, the knowledge, the understanding, and the reality of who Jesus Christ was, who Jesus Christ is, and what Jesus Christ is going to do when he comes back. I did a little review of the names and titles for Christ. I found 50 of them. And I think they're worth going through, because if you were to just use one of these as a characteristic or an example or a title or a name of anything or anybody, it would be pretty amazing and pretty terrific. But think about the titles and names for Jesus Christ. And these are not necessarily in any order. Number one, Savior. Ponder that for a couple of million years. Number two, Redeemer. Number three, Bread of Life. Number four, Lord. Number five, Creator. Number six, Son of the Living God. Number seven, Only Begotten Son. Number eight, Beloved Son. Number nine, Holy One of Israel. Number 10 through 14, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Number 15, King of Kings. Number 16, Head of the Church. Number 17, the Almighty. Number 18, the Alpha and the Omega. Number 19, the Master. Number 20, King of the Jews. 21, High Priest. 22, Prophet. 23, Teacher. 24, Emmanuel. 25, Advocate. 26, Mediator. 27, Judge. 28, Chief Cornerstone. 29, Author and Finisher of our faith. 30, Lamb of God. 31, Good Shepherd. 32, the Shepherd and Bishop of Souls. 33, the Word. 34, the Fountain of Living Waters. 35, the Rock. Again, each and every one of these could be a 2 to 3 hour sermon or Bible study or effort on your part to meditate on exactly all of what those words mean and all of what they mean to mankind. 36, Messiah. 37, True Vine. 38, Branch. 39, Bridegroom. 40, Dayspring. 41, Shiloh. 42, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. 43, the Bright and Morning Star. 44, the Image of the Invisible God. 45, I Am. 46, Son of Man. 47, Carpenter. 48, the Way, the Truth, and the Life. 49, King of Israel. And number 50, the Christ. 50 names or titles that help us get some understanding, each one individually, about the incredibleness of Jesus Christ. And there's 50 of them. Put those all together and see what you got. Let's take a look at some verses throughout Scripture that talk about the criticality of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. For everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our identity standing before God is solely found in Christ and Christ alone. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we're able to die to ourselves and our sins. Ephesians 2:13. Ephesians 2:13. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Only by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. In him all things hold together. Colossians 2. And this afternoon, we are only not even skimming of the surface. Colossians 2 and verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Again, just take one of these scriptures and build a month or a year of prayer and Bible study and fasting and meditation and consideration about what that really means. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. 1 John 5, verse 12. 1 John 5 and verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How important is Jesus Christ to our lives and to our eternal destinies? Romans 8, 38. For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all the creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing of worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For this sake I have suffered through the loss of all things and count them all as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Hebrews 7. And I thought about, you know, let me only read two or three of these, or four or five of them, or 16 or 17 or whatever. But how do you stop? Where do you stop? Hebrews 7:25. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make an intercession for them. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What a promise. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have no peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Colossians 1:14. Colossians 1:14. In him, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. John 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Colossians 3, and verse 3. For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. John 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have life more abundantly. Only 47 more. Romans 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and he was Lord, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is in Christ, and to die is to gain. And lastly of all, Galatians 5 and verse 1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again a yoke of slavery to sin. An incredible number, and I could have gone on for another 2 hours, of confirmation throughout Scripture who Jesus Christ is, who he was, who he's going to be, and the criticalness of him in our lives. But do we get it? Do we really get it? We may say it, we may believe it, but do we really get it? Who he is, who he was, who he will be, and how that affects each and every one of us today and forever. So what do we have through Jesus Christ? The chief cornerstone, the essence of our faith. We have union with Christ. We have a union with Christ. Christ in us, and us in Christ. Quite a partner in our lives. We have salvation through Christ and Christ alone. We have the sufficiencies of Christ's work. It's all we need. We have the dependence on Christ, and we have security in Christ. Some pretty key elements that help our daily lives be as good as they can be. What will Christ do when he returns? A time we all pray for and look forward to. He'll cleanse the earth. He'll judge his people. He'll usher in the millennium. He'll complete the first resurrection, and he'll take his rightful place as King of heaven on earth. Jesus Christ, our eldest brother, He is our King. He is our High Priest. We should and we must be grounded and confident in Him if we are to achieve our ultimate goal and destiny. Let's not ever be afraid to talk about any aspect of our Savior's existence, ever. His eternal existence, His birth, His life, His death, His essence, His resurrection, or the rulership of the kingdom of God. Let's not ever mock others who acknowledge the existence of Christ, and let's humbly yet boldly walk about Him, talk about Him and who He is to anyone who will hear. And let us live our lives so that all can see Him living in us.